Hello everybody, welcome to the Fairy Whispering Podcast. I'm your host, Claire Silverwand. It's Bambi weather here in the southwest of England, drip drop lots of April showers. We have just changed to British summertime, which means longer days and sunny evenings and more time to explore the wild places and connect with enchantment. I wanted to give a shout out to some of my favourite podcasts I'm loving at the moment. Otherworld with Jack Wagner. He's had a few fairy themed episodes featuring gnomes and lots of supernatural experiences. Some Other Sphere Pod is always great. Boggart and Banshee, which is full of fairy lore. Modern Fairy Sightings with my fairy research colleague, the lovely Joe Hickey Hall. Hair in the Hawthorn on YouTube. And a new supernatural thriller podcast I've started listening to is Black Velvet Fairies, which has already got me hooked. Thank you to everyone who supports Fairy Whispering. I love putting these episodes together for you. If you enjoy this episode, please share it with friends. Liking and reviewing helps the show grow, and the video version of this episode is out this Saturday on my Fairy Whisperer YouTube channel. Now, on to the episode. In this ethereal episode of the Fairy Whispering Podcast, we venture into the heart of Scotland's mystical allure with fairy artist and online educator Lucy Bryden. With ancestry rooted in the land of locks and legends, Lucy's passion for her homeland's enchanting flora, fauna and folklore shines through her multifaceted artistic endeavours. Lucy co-hosts the Celtic Collective Art Club with her friend Karen Campbell. Together, they guide students through fairy folklore with their art lessons and hold art retreats in ancient Scottish castles. Lucy recounts her spine-tingling encounters in one of these castles, where the echoes of the past manifest in mysterious footsteps and whispering spirits. As Lucy shares her experiences, we ponder the intersection of art and the supernatural and how creative expression can sometimes entice otherworldly revelations. Our journey takes an eerie turn as Lucy recalls twilight walks in the woods that watch, a place where the veil between worlds seems gossamer thin and the presence of the fae feels almost tangible. Lucy's tales invite us to consider the unseen forces that dance beyond our perception, from blue orbs shimmering with an otherworldly glow to a rabbit that may not be a rabbit at all. You can support the podcast with a donation on my Fairy Whisperer Buy Me a Coffee page or on the podcast Buzzsprout page. Then follow us on social media for more fairy encounters and nature musings. You're listening to the Fairy Whispering Podcast, episode 41, Rabbit That's Not a Rabbit. Enjoy, and I will come back to you at the end with some final thoughts. The Fairy Whispering Podcast explores guests' encounters with the other world of fairy and ways of connecting with this realm. From listening to messages in owls' hoots, finding a four-leaf clover, chasing rainbows, or inviting a gnome to dinner. I'm Claire Silverwand, a fairy whisperer, researcher, and your guide on this journey. Take my hand and step into the twilight woodland, where they are waiting to meet you. Welcome, Lucy.
Hi. I finally get to have a chance to chat with you.
Yes, it's fantastic. And
I really admire your mixed media artwork, and yeah, I've wanted to speak with you for a while, and I thought it'd be lovely because you do art workshops in castles, don't you? Which is fantastic. And part of doing those, you've had some spooky experiences. So I thought that'd be a great place to start.
Yes. So we do a yearly Scottish castle art retreat, which is cut down to SCAR, which doesn't sound that great, but Scottish castle art retreat. And we, I don't know if I should say the name of the castle. I don't know if they'd want to be outed. Although I think we have spoken about it on our podcast, so maybe it doesn't matter too much. But it's a very old castle. It's been owned by the same family for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's absolutely beautiful. We've been doing art retreats there since 2019. And obviously, this is Karen and myself. We do lots of fun projects together. We get on really well and we have a lot of fun doing projects together. And obviously, we had a break because of the pandemic. So we've now had three, I think. We had three. And we're actually doing another art retreat starting next week, but in a different castle. So we're intrigued to see what happens in that castle, because this one that we've spent a lot of time in has had a lot, we've had a lot of strange experiences. So to start at the beginning, the first time that we arrived, the activity basically happened from the minute we arrived. So Karen and I arrived at the castle on the first day, or I think it was even maybe the night before the participants were coming.
Yes.
The owner of the castle showed us around everything, and then she left to go into her apartment. She's actually now the ex-wife of the owner, so she's not involved anymore, but she left to go into her apartment, which was the door in front of us. So they live in a wing of the castle, and we were standing outside the kitchen, and in front of us was her door. So she went that way in front of us, and we were just standing in the hallway outside the kitchen, basically saying to each other, oh my goodness, this place is amazing. We can't believe like we're here and it's just so beautiful. And literally, we were talking, I felt a shift in the air and heavy footsteps coming down the corridor that was the opposite direction to where the owner had gone. So the opposite direction led out towards the main door of the castle. And Karen and I both turned round. It was so real. It was so genuinely real that we actually just thought, oh, did she go into her apartment and then somehow go out and round and back through and she's coming back to meet us? We thought that that was what was happening, was the owner was coming back to meet us, but nobody came round the corner of the corridor. And not only did we hear the footsteps, but I also felt a shift in the air. Like, you know, when someone is in your area, you can feel that change in energy. And so we were like, that's a bit weird. And then we walked down the corridor to see if anyone was coming, and nobody was coming. And we walked out of the castle. And we were standing, or maybe we're standing in the entrance hallway. And then the owner did come round. She came back round the way that we'd come. And she was like, okay, so is everything okay? And I said to her, is this castle haunted? She had the most sheepish look on her face. She kind of looked at me with this sort of trying to judge me face and went, would it bother you if it was? And I said, no, I just think that I already had something happen. And she said, what? And I explained to her, and she kind of again looked a little bit sheepish and just said, yeah, that sounds about right to me. And so that year we probably had two or three other experiences. There's there's a pair of grandfather clocks in that corridor, and the door of one opens and closes, like it opens continuously, and we tried to debunk it. Is there a draft? But the draft wasn't opening. The grandfather clock that was closer to the door in the entrance hallway, but it was, and it wasn't opening the other grandfather clock, but just this one. We found out later in the years following that that is a common occurrence, that this door opens and closes, to the point that now if the door's wide open, close the door and say, can you just keep it closed for a little while, please? Yeah. I've actually had it open, seen it open, closed it, been standing in the corridor with my back to the door, to the grandfather clock, turned around and it's open again. Yeah.
Wow. It's
a super common.
This is a door into a room or a door?
It's the door to the mechanism of the clock.
Oh, I see. Yes.
You know, like how on the front of a grandfather clock, there's that little wooden door that open that you can see the weight that works. It's that door. It swings and shuts. We didn't hear too many stories that year, because that year the housekeeper that we then since met and the manager of the property weren't working there. It was just the owner and his wife, and we didn't really chat with them about the ghosts. But we did have a few other spooky things happen, where there was one evening where we were all in the large drawing room, the very large lounge. And the way that the castle is set out is that if you went through the entrance hallway, on your right, there's a morning room, which is like a small room. And then through there is the large, extremely beautiful drawing room. And then to the left is a little library. And then in front of you is the stone corridor where I heard the footsteps. And the stone corridor circumvents the library and then goes round and through to the kitchens.
Right.
And one of our residents, one of our guests, was, we had no Wi-Fi that year. The Wi-Fi wasn't working.
Oh, gosh.
And it was actually wonderful, Claire.
Yeah.
It just made us shut off for the whole week.
Yeah.
It's just so lovely not having people constantly going online. And it's just so nice, actually. But so we had no Wi-Fi. But also, if you've ever been up in castles in Scotland, you realise that quite often you don't even get a phone signal, because they're in the middle of nowhere. The walls are really thick granite. So there was no phone signal in the castle either, which was just as brilliant. Yeah. And but one of our guests wanted to send an email or something. Mm-hmm. She was standing outside the castle in the grounds outside the castle.
Yeah.
Trying to get a signal to send her email. And she came running through to where we were all in the drawing room and said, was one of you just in the library just now? And we were all in this room. And she said, because the lights went on and off, and someone rapped really sharply on the window. And she thought that it was one of us knocking on the window to get her attention. She looked up, but it wasn't. And then we later found out from the chef, we had a chef doing our catering, and she'd done lots of events at this castle. that she had similar experiences where in the corridor, for any American listeners, that's hallways. In the hallway outside the kitchen,
yeah,
where we heard the footsteps, she actually had someone speak in her ear one time she was on her own. So she was getting ready for an event and there was no one in the castle and somebody spoke in her ear. And then she also had heard about somebody, I don't know if it was one of her servers, somebody like that, was outside the castle near the kitchen, sitting on the windowsill. I think she was having like a sneaky smoke and somebody rapped on the window.
Okay.
Behind her.
Yeah.
Like, off the windowsill, kind of rap. And she stood up and then she was like, oh, I don't know what that was. Sat back down and it happened again. So that was the first year. And then we had a gap because of the pandemic and we were there last year. And last year it was absolutely fascinating. We actually had a, sorry, can we stop for a second? Pause.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just saw your message.
Okay.
Yeah, so that following that last year, when we had our first one after the pandemic, was super interesting for two reasons. The first being there was a housekeeper had started who also had lots of ghostly stories to tell us. Actually, we heard more from her this year, but also we had one of our guests was a woman who was really particularly sensitive, who sensed, and she's very genuine. She's not somebody who would just make up things just for the sake of it.
No, sure.
And because Karen and I have known her for quite a long time, had lots of chats with her about her past experiences. So we knew when she was coming to the castle, her name's Ginger. Like, Ginger, you're going to have to tell us what it is that you are feeling in this place, because we know you're going to feel something. And what the best way she described it was that this place is like a real life version of BBC Ghosts.
Okay. Yeah.
She said it's full of people.
Yeah.
But they're just the past residents of the castle, which is actually how the owner had described it to me when I first said, is this place haunted? She said, yeah, but they're just, it's just the people that used to live.
Yeah, sure.
And so we had quite a few strange experiences that week. But on top of that, we also had the psychic insights of this woman who could sense who was there and what they were. There was one of the women in the house, the women ghosts in the house, was apparently the first kind of lady laird. So she was the first woman to be the laird. And Ginger had said that she, I hope I get all this information correct. Ginger had said that she sensed that there was a woman who was really the woman of the house. You know, she was kind of, this is my place. And she sensed her in the library and around the stairs. And What's interesting is that, and I'll speak about this more in a minute, but, and I got my facts wrong about the housekeeper, because there was a housekeeper and a manager, and it was a manager that we met last year, and she told us lots of interesting extra stories about other people that had experienced things. But this year we met the housekeeper who actually does experience things, and her experiences corroborated what Ginger had told us, and the two of them hadn't met. And
yeah, that's interesting, isn't it, when that happens? Yeah.
And so she would tell us things. As soon as we met her, we said, oh, tell us about the ghosts. And we had so many interesting conversations. And she was telling us conversations. Karen and I were like, that's what Ginger told us last year.
Yeah. Like,
that's exactly what Ginger said. Mm-hmm. So we had Ginger go around the castle, and she would say things like, yeah, in this room I can sense. There was in one room she sensed quite a little bit lechy male presence who she said, I feel like he's trying to push me down onto the bed. And there was one evening when she was upstairs in the top floor where her bedroom was, and she felt a shift of energy coming up the stairs, and she actually saw, almost like from the knees down, some legs. She saw like old-fashioned stockings and shoes.
Yeah.
And then in her ear, she heard a voice say, hello, ladies, which is a little bit creepy. We're a castle full of ladies. It was only ladies on this retreat. Yeah.
They sound like, I mean, this is just my kind of intuitive interpretation of it, that these people, former existing people that were there, they were kind of just, they're quite welcoming, but protective of their, a little bit protective of their space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe by the second time you went, they were just like, oh, it's those people again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps showing up a little bit more.
I think as every year's gone on, they've shown themselves.
Yeah.
So we definitely had like the noises and the clock last year. And then we had all of Ginger's unseen to us, but seen to her experiences, which I 100% trust. And she said that there was, she sensed in the hallway where we heard the footsteps, she sensed someone in a military position. And then we found out later that the castle had been a hospital during the war. So there had been soldiers there during the war. And she sensed that a particular man, the way that she described him, then when we described him to the housekeeper, she told us, oh yeah, that's Uncle George. And it was like the great-grandfather or something, the current Laird. And that she had seen him as well. She'd actually seen him. She was polishing silverware one time.
Oh,
and in the reflection of the silverware, she saw him.
Right. So that's,
and he waved at her.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's quite a meditative. This is what I'm, you know, I'm interested in this. I have this term for what I do, fairy whispering.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, why I've called the podcast Fairy Whispering. It's that, yes, I'm an artist too, and meditative state that we get into when we're doing things like that. So she's polishing the silverware or creating art or music.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I believe, is when we're in this state that we can receive those connections from the other world in whatever way they come through.
That could well be the case. I know that the housekeeper is particularly sensitive as well, and also has a very good relationship with the house. Like, she's very respectful. She feels quite protective over it. And I think that the past residents see that in her and show themselves to her more often. Last year, we had, I had an experience when we were all sitting at the dining table. It's a very long, thin dining table. And actually, the dining table, it is a room, but it's actually not. It could almost be considered another hallway. And there's a door to outside on one side. And then if you were to walk all the way through the dining hall and then through a door that's currently locked, it would take you to the stone hallway with the footsteps. And and that's where the movement, this walking movement happens. And we were sitting at the dining table, all of us having dinner. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a person walking down the length of the dining table behind the woman opposite me. And I genuinely thought that it was just one of our guests that got up to go to the bathroom or get a drink and was coming back. So I looked up and kind of went, I shouldn't say like this on a listening podcast, but I kind of turned my head as if to see who it was that was coming. You know, if you're sitting at a table and someone comes back, you kind of turn up and you allow them
through.
And as I did that, Ginger, our psychic lady, looked up as well, because she was sitting opposite me and she saw the same thing, but she saw it came behind me.
Okay.
And she said, she said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "Yes." And it was a shadow of a person.
Oh, okay.
But it was, you know, out of the corner of your eye, you think you're seeing a person, but it wasn't. There was none of the other ladies were out of their seats. I just thought that maybe they were. And so it was just a presence person moving around the dining table. And it's funny, because before all of this, I think I would have felt really fearful of this kind of encounter. But in that setting, it didn't feel scary at all. I felt like it's just another dimension, or there's just the past residents and they're just there.
Yes.
So we found ourselves starting to talk to them a little bit.
Great.
Thank you for letting us in your house. Yeah. We really love it. It's such a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Please close the clock door. Just keep it closed for a little while, please. And I don't know whether that has encouraged them to show themselves more, or whether it was just Ginger being there and being particularly sensitive to the different people. You know, she said there are multiple people. She heard someone one night when she was supposed to be trying to get sleep, really late at night, playing a flute or a recorder.
Oh, right. Again. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like they were practicing. And then eventually she shouted down or spoke quietly down the stairs, "Could you please stop that? I'm trying to sleep." And it stopped.
It sounds like they're, rather than just like a past memory, they are active spirits.
Yeah.
That they are sort of interacting. And,
rather than a kind of the stone tape theory, it almost feels like they are very aware of the people that are there now. You know, "I'm going to knock on the window to get you to sit up, and I'm going to you know, a whisper in your ear. And yeah, it does feel like they're aware, or maybe at least some of them are. There might be a mixture between the two. So this year when we went, which was just back in June, it was absolutely fascinating because we got to know the housekeeper really well. We spoke to her as much as we could about the experiences that she'd had. And I'm not going to like go over all of them because there's too many, but also it's kind of her experiences. We certainly had other things. I actually, there was one afternoon when we were all sitting in the big drawing room. We were doing an art lesson, because that's what we're there for. And we're doing a drawing lesson. We were all sitting in various parts of this big drawing room. And again, out of the corner of my eye, here to the right, I thought one of our guests had got up and left the room to go to the bathroom or to get a drink or something. And this time it wasn't a dark shadow, it was a really light shadow. It was like somebody was wearing white clothing. That's the only way I can describe it. And I again looked up and followed the shape. I was really confused. Followed the shape going out the door. And again saw that one of our ladies had also seen it, because she looked up and looked out the door. And I said to her, "Did somebody just leave?" And she said, "I think somebody just left." And then I looked around and did the old teacher head count thing. You used to be a teacher as well.
I used to be a teacher.
I used to be an art teacher in primary school. And so that old teacher head count. No, we're all here. Because I was going to say, somebody's left. Let's just pause. And I wasn't actually teaching the lesson. Karen was teaching the lesson. I was sitting with the other ladies doing the lesson. So I was going to say, let's just pause, somebody's left. But nobody had left. And I was like, that's so bizarre.
Could you describe that again? So was that this person that you saw sitting down and got up to leave?
Them walk behind, there was a sofa I was sitting on the floor next to the coffee table. And just next to me, a little bit further away, there was a sofa there was a space between the sofa and the wall.
I see.
Actually, in that wall is an opening that goes through to the dining table. And then then at the end of the sofa and a little bit further on is the doorway that goes through to eventually leads to the kitchen. But to the right of that sofa, further along, there's like a whole heap more of drawing room. There's like another sofa and more chairs. And so some of the ladies were sitting back there. So I saw the movement behind the sofa and go through that door.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was one of the ladies that was behind me, that I hadn't seen them actually out of a chair, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And so I went through to try and find the housekeeper, because I thought maybe it was her. And she was nowhere to be seen. And so I texted her, like, "Where are you? Did you just come in the room?" I was starting to, not panic, but starting to doubt my eyes, you know. And then eventually she came through and she said, no, I was in the apartment that belongs to the owner. And she said, "Yeah, there is a woman in white in this castle." That hangs around this area, the stairway. And then this super spooky thing was that evening, as Karen and I were driving back to my house, because we're not lucky enough to get to sleep in the castle, we have to sleep in my little house.
I was imagining you all sort of, in the wonderful rooms.
Well, the ladies sleep in the castle, but if we slept there, we wouldn't have enough room for all the ladies.
Sure,
And as we were driving home, we were like, let's listen to the latest Modern Fairy Sightings podcast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I put it on, and immediately Joe started speaking about women in white encounters.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that is just so. I texted her that night, Joe, I just had a woman in white encounter, and then put your podcast on, and you were talking about women in white. It was just so bizarre.
It's like an affirmation, isn't it? When that happens, that's the way I interpret it anyway. I mean, is that how you felt? Yeah.
Because it was definitely a woman. And it was definitely someone wearing very light colored clothing. It was like a white shadow, but not a mist. It's difficult when you see something out of the corner of your eye.
Yes.
Because you can still, I don't actually go with the skeptic's theory of that your mind's making these things up.
No.
I think that.
Neither do I.
I appreciate that there are a lot of things to debunk in the fairy, paranormal, UFO realm. I think that there's something to be said for a really good debunking of the kind of people that make stuff up and watch their videos in order to get views on their YouTube channels.
Yeah, definitely.
But when you have something genuine happen, it's like, how can you debunk that? Because I'm not seeing like white mists out of the corner of my eye every couple of days.
No.
And also one of the other ladies also saw something. She looked up as well and she thought somebody had left the room. So when you have corroboration between two people, that's also harder to debunk, I think. I think sometimes those debunkers, some of their excuses, I don't know if you've ever listened to the absolutely amazing Danny Robbins podcast on Cam.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I do love that.
And I love the debunking sections. But sometimes I'm like, come on, you're really grasping at debunking straws here.
Debunking straws.
It's like,
for me, it's the feeling you have in your body. Mm-hmm. It's an instant knowing.
Yeah.
We can't prove that to anyone else. It's a very personal experience. It's an instant knowing. You don't forget that experience ever.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference between when we imagine, you know, imagining things.
Yeah.
But the imagination's very powerful and not to be derided either. But I think it's just a knowing in your body. It's an instant primal thing that we have of a recognition of, yes, that was something that I saw, I experienced, I felt it with my sixth sense as well.
And I think the interesting thing is that I do appreciate that if you were going to go into a really old castle, which there are a lot of in Scotland, and you were to sit in a room on your own in a castle with all the lights turned off, that your imagination could very well make up feelings for you that of things being there. But when you're just sitting, enjoying yourself painting,
mm.
and you're not thinking, like that first footsteps, like I wasn't even thinking about ghosts.
No.
We were just standing, yeah. actually going, yeah. oh, God, this place is just so beautiful and amazing. Oh,
mm.
somebody's coming along the corridor. And actually those experiences, all of those experiences that I've had in that castle, none of them have been frightening.
No.
And all of them have been very unexpected. Mm. I've not been looking for them. And even though in consequent years, I know that there's something in that castle, I'm not going in, walking around, trying, holding my breath, trying to see if somebody's going to come down the corridor. It's no. when,
yeah.
it's always been when me or other people have been doing something completely distracted. Like, so I'll tell you another couple of quick stories. One of them was our chef, which was a different chef.
Yeah.
Different caterer, and he'd never been to the castle before, and he was walking through to give us our food and coming backwards and forwards from the kitchen to the dining hall to give us our food, and he came through to the dining room and said, is there somebody, did somebody leave the table, because I'm serving the food now, is there somebody? Bye. And we went, no, we're all here. Because he was like, are you ready to eat, kind of thing. We're like, no, we're all here sitting waiting for our lovely, delicious meal. And he said, because somebody just walked outside the, past the window.
Oh,
and you could see on his face, yeah. he was a little bit scared. You could see the cogs turn. And I went back through to the morning room with him.
Mm.
And he was hilarious, actually. He was walking backwards and forwards,
yeah.
past the window, trying to debunk it. He's like, it was, yeah. definitely not reflection.
Yeah, as we do, don't we? We do the sort of thing we do.
Not, I can't see a reflection now. Yeah. It's definitely not a reflection of me.
Mm.
And he went, I wonder where my other chef is. No, he's in the kitchen, busy preparing the food. So we were the only people. And he went, I saw the shape of a person as I walked past the window, walking past me outside.
Yep.
So we said to the housekeeper, we told her, and she just went, yeah, there's ghosts in the garden as well.
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact. And so afterwards, he was like a little bit scared. There was one day that he had to come in early. We were all out on an excursion. And so he was coming in on his own to set up for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think I'll just go and turn all the lights on.
Now a quick break with some news from me. Hello dear listeners, the Fairy Whispering Podcast is an independent show entirely produced by me. To keep the show rolling, please show your support by becoming a monthly subscriber on the Podcast Buzzsprout website or on my Fairy Whisperer Buy Me A Coffee page, and by following, sharing with a friend and leaving a 5-star review. Also, if you or someone you know has had a fairy encounter or other unexplained encounter, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me your story to claire@fairywhisperer.co.uk. All of these links are in the show description. Thank you. Now back to the episode.
I'd be the same. I'd be like, yeah, put the light on.
But he wasn't, he was just walking past to serve food. He wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't in a frame of mind where he was thinking ghosts, ghosts, ghosts. He was just serving us food and genuinely thought that one of us was not at the dining table, and did he have to wait until we were back before?
Sure.
You know, and so he wasn't, I think when those kind of things happen, you can't use overactive imagination as an excuse, because at that point you're imagination isn't running overdrive. He's in work mode. There was one on the last day.
Yeah.
All our guests had gone. Mm-hmm. They had all left. And we, Karen and I, were in the castle with the housekeeper and the manager, I guess you would call her, the woman, the estate manager, the woman who runs the renting out of the castle. Mm. And we were actually talking ghost stories for a really long time, like an hour and a half.
Amazing.
And none of them were spooky. It was just things like, you know, the manager said that she's had instances where as she's walking down a hallway, and apparently there's more happens in the apartment of the owner than in the castle even.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled her pocket, so her mobile phone fell out of her back pocket. Loads of little stories. And as we were talking, the footsteps came down the corridor. And we were standing in this tiny little, really cute little snug lounge that's at the end of that corridor. And we were just all standing chatting, and all four of us at the same time said, "There's the footsteps. Did you hear that?"
Yeah.
And they stopped outside the door to the snug that we were in. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see anything because we're not sensitive enough. But the housekeeper said, "He's right outside watching us."
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it sounds like this mixture of prankster sort of energy, little pranks, and then these watchful kind of guardians, past residents that are just keeping an eye on what you're doing, how you're respecting their space.
Yeah. There was one night when we were all having dinner, and I was sitting at the head of the table, and Karen was sitting at the other head of the table. It's like one of these big, long, thin castle dining tables where the two people at the heads are really far away from each other, and you can't actually in those movies where couples that don't talk to each other, married couples that don't want to talk to each other. And my side was where the door right behind me. And I didn't see a shadow this time. And this would be debunked by the debunkers as my overactive imagination, but I know it wasn't, because we were just having a lovely dinner. I wasn't thinking about ghosts, and I felt the shift in energy of the air of somebody walking down the length of the table. And then they walked round and they stood behind me and they peered over my shoulder.
Ooh, and there was no air,
but I just, you know, when you feel like you've got to learn.
Yeah.
And I felt that a lot in my house growing up. In one particular room, there was somebody behind watching me. I don't feel it on a daily basis. I'm not feeling the only other time I felt that was actually, strangely enough, not long after my dad died for a few months. Yes. I would be in the kitchen and there would be somebody standing behind me. And then that feeling just went after a few months. And I wondered whether it was the presence of my dad.
That's beautiful. I believe that these, you know, our ancestors' spirits come in at certain times to support us, or, you know, really sorry to hear that news, by the way, of your dad passing away. But that sounds very comforting as well.
Yeah.
To have that experience of him feeling his presence for a while. I felt that with my grandfather at times when I've been through difficult times. And I've actually spoken to a medium. They've said, your grandfather is with you at the moment, helping you through this time.
Yeah.
And he pops.
It's really comforting, isn't it?
Yeah, I've even got random photos. Like on my phone, I have like my OneDrive photos as a slideshow from the screen saver. It's amazing the amount of times this has happened when I'm going through a difficult time and I need a bit of support. The one photo that I have of my grandfather that I'd saved to my OneDrive, you know, in the last few months, pops up.
Really?
It happened the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, right, okay, thank you. I know you. And it's almost like he's backing up what I'm thinking. Well, that's the way I interpret it. It's all very personal, isn't it? But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't think it was funny because Karen was at the opposite end of the table and she started looking at me like quizzingly. And I was like, there's somebody behind me. And I stood for it, but that's the wrong expression. I managed to kind of allow it to happen for a few minutes, but after a while it became uncomfortable, and I stood up and I went and sat next to her for a few minutes. And she was like, what was wrong? And I said, there was somebody standing behind me. And they weren't being menacing. They were just, I just felt, like you say, that there are these guardians of the house that were just checking that everything was going okay, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm interested as well, Lucy, about the art you were creating and whether any of these spirits or anything like a message or symbols or anything came through the art that's being created during those few days. Do you think
so interesting? Because we actually use the house quite a lot as inspiration for our art. So we did little still lives using some of the objects from around the house. We took a lot of photos. We went on a hunt round the house is so beautiful, and there's so many beautiful portraits of past residents. So we really were paying attention to the finer details and the people. Like,
yes,
that we it's not that we were just sitting on the sofa and not looking. We were like looking closely at all of the portraits of the people that had lived there. We did one exercise where we did a portrait, but we did our own interpretation. So we used one of the portraits on the wall and we did our own versions, and then turned this woman into a fairy.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I wonder if her spirit was around, whether she came close. Did you feel like
maybe she was the one that walked through the door? Because it was during that I hadn't put that two and two together actually until just now. I hadn't thought about it in that way, but it was that we were doing that exercise when I saw the woman in white.
Right. Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it. That's super interesting.
I tell you what I'm going to do, because I said I would do this at the beginning, but I'm going to do it now. Feels like a good time to do it. I'm going to draw one of these lovely fairy cards that I have by Sharon McLeod.
Ooh.
The packet.
I'll have to.
They're called Fairy Magic by Sharon McLeod. They're just really simple. They've got the messages on the back. They're really simple little cards that I just like. So I'm going to ask, should I ask a question about the woman?
Yeah, do it.
What should I ask? So was the lady, Lucy, saw at the corner of her eye, the lady in white, was she the lady in the portrait? I don't know if this will give me these cards the right. Oh, just one just jumped out.
Oh, you've got to go with that one then.
Yeah. This is to do with cats, the cat she.
Ooh.
A cat lives 9 lives, then transforms into a witch. Cat she walks with you at this time. You have luck and destiny on your side. You're a magical being in the process of transforming and shape-shifting, preparing to birth your visions and plans. You're ready to weave your magic. Luck is on my side. I believe in my vision. So it's like luck and self-belief and weaving magic.
The interesting little bit that I'm getting from that,
yeah,
is the word shape-shifting and the fact that I just said that we turned her into a fairy.
Yes. Shape-shifting.
So I don't know if that's me finding meaning or whether there is a connection there.
I'll just draw one more and see. So this one is St. Pedro berry. That's a type of cactus, hallucinogenic cactus.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And she's got little horns, a bit like Ellen of the Ways. Go into your heart space. Imagine it is a sacred grove. In the heart, we are all one and equal. This fairy is a master teacher who helps you grow, learn, and awaken. She helps open your eyes to what already exists. Miracles are taking place. The St. Pedro Fae help you find new belief systems and bring you healing from depression and grief. Miracles are in the making. I believe in miracles.
Oh, I like the sound of that one.
Go into your heart space. So I don't know if those relate, but you're saying the catchy kind of relates to shape-shifting. That leapt out to me when I was reading that shape-shifting. But yeah.
And so, I think I'm going to have to ponder. I always find with cards that when I read the meaning initially, sometimes I think, oh, I don't know what that is. And then as the day goes on, I realize what the significance is, or I realize that the significance isn't necessarily the thing that we asked the question of, but it's something else that I suddenly go, that's
be interesting to know a bit more about the woman in the painting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. So I was wondering if before we started talking, Lucy, you shared about, there's a couple of experiences I'd like to try and talk with you before we finish.
Yeah.
If possible. There's the blue orb.
Yeah.
And the hair that wasn't a hair.
Yes.
So that which one would you like to start with?
I'll start with the blue orb. It's fairly quick, fairly quick story because our time is short.
That's fine.
But that took place 2 years ago, I think. Do you know, the last 3 years, I've got such time discombobulation.
I know. I think we're all the same, aren't we?
Sometimes I say something from last year and then realize it was 3 years ago. It's like it's almost like that. I feel like we've lost time. I feel like time didn't exist in the same way in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I get.
I constantly get confused over when things took place, but it was definitely during that kind of pandemic height, but not the first wee while. So I think it was 2021. And I was walking with my friend that I always dog walk with. And it was before I had my dog, but she also has a greyhound, and we were walking her dog. And we went to these woods that I think that you are clear, but you know what I mean when I say that there are certain woods that have a feeling, and
yes,
there are certain woods that are just,
yeah,
and there are certain woods where you feel, there are certain woods for me where I feel like the woods are watching me,
yes,
and that they are a living entity almost. And so we were walking her dog in these woods, and at the end of the path in these woods, it's not the end of the path, but it's the end of the path for me, I can't go any further, is a little hut that's really ramshackle, that has an open doorway and an open window, and I can't walk past it.
There's, oh yeah, I get the chills when you're talking about that.
Watching me from inside the hut. There's definitely something in that hut that when I get near it, I have to turn around and go back. And
do you think people have practiced magic there? Like dark magic, or
I'm really not sure what it
what's
is,
gone on
but
there.
there's
No.
just a funny, it's just a funny, funny feeling there that I just feel like, you know, when you get the feeling that there is something saying to you, don't any
Yes.
meter.
Oh, yeah. I've had that a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we'd walk down and we were turning back, and it's a beautiful woods, very magical, huge, big old trees. And at the time of the year that we were there, and it was evening. At this point during kind of pandemic-y, wasn't quite lockdown, but like we were doing lots of evening dog walks. And it was twilight. It was, I want to say, early autumn, or there were ferns in that wood that were taller than me. So everything had grown. We were walking through the path, there were ferns this tall. And I think I was talking to her about, the fairy experience that I'd been speaking to Joe Hickey Hall about. And I looked over, and hovering above the line of the foliage was electric blue light. That's
Wow.
all I can describe it as.
Yeah.
And probably maybe 20, 30, 40 feet away from me. So it wasn't super close. And it was not an animal's eye, because there was only one.
Yeah.
And it was too tall, because
yeah.
the ferns were about my, I'm only 5'3", but the ferns were like 5 foot tall. You know, they weren't only like a foot tall. They were really
sure.
overgrown. The this section of the woods was quite sparse with trees, but it was like a flat bit with loads of smaller trees and then all of these ferns. And I looked over, and it was just hovering this, it was like a, how would I describe the blue? It was like an ultramarine sort of bright electric blue. That's the only way I bet.
Which is highly unnatural, isn't it? To see, apart from blue flowers that we see, to see something that colour in nature.
Yeah. Mm. And then it was gone. So that was that. It's a very short story. But to me, I just don't know what that was.
What was the feeling you got from it? I mean, is there a feeling that you had anywhere?
I felt like it wasn't a coincidence that I was talking about experiences and then saw that. Again, I felt like it was something in the woods watching, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like sometimes we are privileged to be allowed to be in these places.
Yes.
And we should respect them. And then every so often there's something or a feeling that reminds you that you are not alone in them. Does that sound too out there?
No, it doesn't.
Not to you.
No, I'm very open-minded.
To my mum, it would. She thinks I've lost my plan.
No. I mean, I speak to so many people, or you must as well, about experiences like this.
Yeah.
I did a painting of Wissmann's Wood, which I'm going to frame for my mum, actually, where I painted, you know, like just psychically saw all these orbs. It's in my cupboard, but when my mystical art cupboard behind me.
Ooh.
And I'm going to get this framed for my mum, actually, but orbs, but there's lots of orbs in the background.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's beautiful.
There's some pink ones.
That's gorgeous, Claire.
I thought I'd painted some. Yeah, there's another one I've done with blue, but there are some little bits of blue in there and things. But that's how I was seeing fairy presence.
I was listening to another podcast recently, and I can't. It's really going to annoy me because I can't even remember what podcast it was or what episode it was. It was only last week, maybe, or the week before. And there was a guest that spoke about seeing a blue orb in the woods. And I went, oh, wow, it's not just me then. So, it's interesting when you hear, when you hear those stories.
Well, there's all the stories of Will-o'-the-Wisp, isn't there?
Yeah.
Various, you know, people have come up with various theories and things. But I mean, I've spoken to people that have seen them. So there's so much that we don't know, isn't there, about energy and about how.
Yes.
I've just released an episode speaking to my guest Jen, who I visited.
I listened to it. I was just going to say that was absolutely fascinating. She was talking about her experiences and seeing them in the cameras and slowing them down.
And I've captured them on an episode that I did with Kate Hairgirl Ray a few months ago. She had loads of orbs.
Yeah.
I've had them appear around me as well. So there's some, whether it's related to our energy or I think it's a mixture. I think it's probably related to our energy sometimes and fairy energy, you know, our energy field. But then nature has its own energy and these beings travel using these orbs as well. So some of the orbs that Jem's captured have got little beings in them, faces. spirits and fairy beings. So yeah, I think it, to see that, you're really, it's a real privilege, isn't it, to be able to, it's almost like a hello from, oh, you're talking about us.
And just like with the sort of ghostly paranormal things, it's always an unexpected, it's not, you can't will yourself to see those things and have them happen. That they almost, for me certainly, maybe not for other people, but they happen when you're not expecting them. So
yeah,
it's all these people that say, well, like in this day and age of cameras, why haven't you got a photo? And it's like, well, but you're not expecting it, so you haven't.
No.
And then as soon as, if you were to get your phone out, it's gone. It's gone. You don't get a chance to do that kind of thing. And it's almost like these things happen when you're not focusing on wanting them to happen. You're thinking about other things, or you're in a different kind of mindset.
Yeah. It is. I see it as a sort of a meditative, mindful mindset where you're minding, like you are walking on, minding your own business, literally, perhaps just enjoying, you know, open. I think having an open heart helps, and not being distracted by phones and things. And then that's when these things happen. And also the connection that you have with those woods, that you've established some reciprocity with that place. Maybe that they're recognizing you as, oh, she's back. She's talking about us.
Maybe. Because the one with the hair, not a hair.
Yes.
That was a different woods. But I only started walking in those woods quite recently. Mostly because my dog is a little bit of a stress head sometimes, and during the summer, there's just too many cats, too many. So to put this experience into context, my dog is a greyhound, and anyone knows greyhounds, and not all greyhounds, but my greyhound has an extremely high prey drive. So even though he is a super lazy, gentle dog, if you see a cat or even a leaf blowing in the wind, or someone else's little funny dog like a chihuahua or something, he gets super excited. Greyhounds can see for 270 degrees, so they can see all the way around, and they can see for half a mile. So their eyesight is extremely keen, and they particularly pick up on moving things. So if he sees something darting or moving, he is on it before I've even spotted it. And during the summer, there were just too many cats around the neighborhood. We call them tasty snacks in my house. And so I started walking him in these woods, because these woods were quite quiet and not as many people walk their dogs there even. And the first time I went in these woods, I called them the woods that watches. Woods are, there is something slightly unnerving actually about these woods. So, and you know how in one of your episodes you were talking about bodies of water and crossing bodies of water?
Yes.
It was the one about your house and the water.
When
I first contacted you about, I can't quite, I'm sure it was one of your episodes.
Maybe when I was talking in an interview about the house I lived in.
Yeah, with the running water.
With the running water, yeah.
And so in these woods are full of crisscrossing areas of running water, little streams, and and crossroads of paths. So it's not a big woods. They're quite small. But funnily enough, on really old maps, because I had a look on some really old maps, they are called wilderness.
Right. The woods are called wilderness.
Yes.
Ah.
It's quite a small woods, and there are little crossroads all over the place. The woods are full of crossroads, and there are streams that cross over the path into crossroads. And so as soon as I walk over one set of crossroads,
yeah,
I could feel myself going into an area that was watchful. And the whole time I was in that bit, I felt like I needed to walk faster because I wasn't wanted there.
Right.
Until I reached a stream and a crossroads and crossed that bit, and I was out of it. And I felt a shift in the heaviness of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And there are probably certain people in my life, like my adult son, who would say, "Mum, you're round the bend, it's all your imagination," but I don't think it is. But I still walked my dog there because it's a good place to walk my dog. And a few times I walked there, I would say, "I know you're here, and I know you're watching me," as I walked through the woods. I just like look around and say, I know I'm in your woods, and I know you're watching me." I could feel that something, the really dense trees, something in the trees watching the path, watching the people walking through the woods.
Yes.
And there are a whole heap of crisscrossy paths going all the way through these woods. And I've kind of tried all of them out. And there are certain ones that if it was twilight or if I was on my own, I would either walk quite quickly or wouldn't go that way. And so there was one night that me and my friend, the friend that I'd been with before, said, "Let's go for a twilight walk in the woods." And she calls them the spooky woods. I call them the woods that watches.
Both great names.
Yeah. And so we took our dogs, and she's also got a greyhound, and we walked through all the paths of the woods.
Yeah.
And we said, "Right, let's just stop and listen." So we stopped and we just stood there. And there was absolute silence, not a single sound. And then there was 5 to 10 minutes of intense chattering of bats flying over our heads, backwards and forwards, to wherever they were nesting. And I love bats. So we just did a walk with the bats.
Yeah.
And absolutely love seeing bats flying. Our dogs, meanwhile, are just standing with us because they're pretty patient dogs. Greyhounds are quite good at just standing, waiting. And in the distance down the path, we could see a rabbit hare. I think it was a rabbit more than a hare. And so I said, "Oh, maybe we should move on, because if my dog sees that, he's going to go absolutely crazy." And this hare rabbit, this rabbit was just standing, sitting on the path.
Yeah.
And then it leapt off into the bushes beside the path for a little bit, just low bushes, like not really big bushes. Then So we started walking, thinking, while it's hiding, we'll walk along the path. But we were walking quite slowly. And then the hare came back onto the path and it hopped very slowly along the path towards us. And neither of our dogs spotted it. And we stopped.
Yeah.
We watched the hare hop. It was watching us. That's all I can think. It was watching us.
Mm-hmm.
It hopped along the path,
mm.
past our dogs, who were looking around like there was nothing there.
God.
And we both said, our dogs can't see that. That's really weird.
Yeah. It's bizarre, isn't it?
And the dogs were just kind of standing there, like chilling. And that's the only time I ever seen my dog stand and chill if there was a little fluffy thing within his vicinity. And then the rabbit hopped past, it stopped again, it looked back at us, it watched us for a little while, and then it hopped off down the path. My friend turned to me and said, that wasn't a rabbit.
No. Oh God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean prey animal just wouldn't run towards danger at all, would it?
Yeah. It wouldn't go so nonchalantly past two huge big dogs. And the dogs, there's no way. I mean, my dog on other walks has been walking, chilled as can be, and then will suddenly leap like a lizard and stick his head in the bush because there's a toad in there or a bird or something. Uh-huh. And he's gone for it. Like his reflexes are so quick. He's gone for it before I've even realized there was something there.
Yeah.
So, but they were both literally standing, going like this. At one point, I think they even looked at it and they didn't see it. And my friend said, it's the woods.
Yeah. By that, what does she mean by that? It's the woods.
The rabbit was part of the woods.
Right. Yeah, because there were all these stories, aren't there, in folklore of fairies shapeshifting into rabbits.
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what crossed my mind. That it was it wasn't really an animal.
So was it, did it appear solid and?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, because I've seen hares here in Devon, very rarely, but a couple of occasions. And the hares are massive, aren't they? Like rabbits are like little.
This is more of a rabbit than a hare.
Fluffy things. Yeah. Gosh. That is so weird.
I know.
Wow. Yeah. What was your feeling? I mean, what was your sensation? Did you pick up from it? Did you both feel anything in particular? Or
I felt like that it was a creature of the forest, whether that was forest energy or fae energy, that was checking us out under the disguise of an animal. Because we'd stopped to listen.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So do you mean that it was because you were paying attention?
Yeah.
yeah, it presented itself.
Yes.
It's like, okay.
Because normally I would just walk, dog walk through, like other people dog walk through. And there's probably a, there's not a huge amount of people that walk through there, but I would probably, I'd probably hazard a guess that 99% of them walk through there without any gut feeling at all. Of it. They're just walking through the woods.
Yeah. And
I don't know whether that I've got an overactive imagination, but I don't think it's that. I don't know if I'm more sensitive to those kinds of feelings or something, but I did say to one other person, have you ever had a funny feeling about those woods? And she said, yes, I won't go anywhere near them at night.
Right. I'm getting chills.
And we don't live, if anyone from America or even England is listening, they would go, well, I wouldn't go near any woods at night. But I live in a really safe part of Scotland.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably walk my dog in the woods at night with a head torch without worrying too much that something bad's going to happen to me. So it's not, it's not like other parts of the world where you worry about, you know, lots of criminals or anything like that.
But
yeah, there's something, there's just, it is the, those woods are the, I get more feeling from those than I did from the woods with the orb. But it's on a similar vein. But there are other woods that I walk in all the time that I just these are just woods. They're just woods.
Yeah. Be interesting to look at the history of the land there. That's something
I really tried to do some research, and I haven't managed to get anything online with a Google. So I would imagine whether I would have to maybe go a bit further and start looking in documents in libraries and things.
Yeah, well, it's something that I like to do for people, because I look at maps that. The Library of Scotland has got lots of old maps online. And there's another website I use called Archie Maps. Archie Maps, like A-R-C-H-I, which I pay, it's like a monthly subscription for that, because there's lots of, they've got archaeological maps.
Okay.
And they show you archaeological discoveries and layers of history. And
I love old maps.
terrain and things like that. And something else I do is remote viewing. So with the episode I've just done, I did some remote viewing of Gem's Garden and looked at the history and did some psychic art of that area as well. Yes. So I love that. I love uncovering the layers of history, because there might not be any human history in those woods. They might, but then things might have gone on around the woods.
Yes.
Battles or who knows?
The person said that this is a sensitive subject. Sorry, but the person that said that she didn't like to go in it in the evening, she did know of at least two people who had taken their own lives in those woods.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know whether part of the energy it comes from that. I don't know whether the slightly unnerving, because I would say that there's an unnerving energy there, which was different from the rabbit energy that felt more wood spirit to me, woodland spirit, rather than human, you know.
Yes.
But I would really love to learn more about that area and see if there's something that goes further back. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then there's all the witch trials, which you can Google as well.
Yes. And there was
actually
one of the witches, I think, one of the witches in the northeast of Scotland actually did come from round about my village.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm getting chills again.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of legends about giants and stones. And there's Pictish archaeological. There's a big mountain near me that has a lot of folklore surrounding it.
Right. Oh, wow.
So, it would be really interesting to do a little bit more research on that and see if there was anything that linked up, and that these woods are actually quite close to the main big old castle house that
again, I'm getting chills. So so that it could be related to that history. It could be a whole mixture of things, couldn't it? But yes, fascinating. I'd love to know what you find out.
I know. I'll definitely keep you posted if I find it. I only got as far as trying to find, to look at, I found some slightly older maps that were from sort of the late 1800s. And that's where I saw that the section of land was just called Wilderness.
The Wilderness, Wow. Oh, it's
which
been
to me seems quite desolate, doesn't it?
It does. It's a wilderness. It sounds a bit like, well, it sounds ancient as well.
Yeah.
Like that is what local people were just like, well, that's the wilderness over there.
Yes.
And that would suggest that that's the edge, an edge place or in a between place as well. Ooh. Well, I really hope that I get up there next year and
that would be meet so up. Much fun, Claire.
I
would
lovely.
Love to hang out with you and go to some spooky places.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And another thing that I'm doing, which I'll just mention, is on a Sunday night, not every Sunday night, but several Sunday nights leading up to Christmas, I'm doing fairy chats now. Like it's like a fairy, like a show and tell kind of thing, but around fairies and creativity. So I did one this Sunday just gone. It's October now. Where I spoke about my artwork, and then we had a little Q&A in a chat.
Can't believe I missed that somehow.
Well, yeah, I've got some other ones coming up. There's one on the 22nd of October. I don't know when this episode will go out, but the 22nd of October, Sam Meredith's coming on to do some light language art. Then I've got Emma Welsh, that was on my episode about seeing fairies on her windowsill. She does fairy art as well, so she's going to talk about her fairy experiences and that and her art. And then on the 19th of November, I've got Jem coming on to talk about her fairy experiences in her garden, crystal art that she makes.
Oh,
it's just like, so if you want to do one of those in future, you'd be most welcome to come
on. I'd love to. That sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm gonna have to try and join in and attend some of those, because they sound so interesting.
Well, I'll publicize them on my newsletter and on social media and podcasts and everything. But is there anything
I just
you
love this community that we've all, you know, this little community that started sprouting up between.
I love it. I love it. I love, you know, Joe and I have spoken about this co-creative energy that is coming together. You know, we've all got our own things that we do, but we're all supporting each other in some way and feeding into this sort of knowledge, stream of knowledge about fairies or creativity or whatever we're doing. and bring some light to people's lives along the way, hopefully. And some
a bit of magic.
A bit of magic, a bit of enchantment. So I'd love you to share what you're up to, Lucy, and where people can find you. So
at the moment, mostly what I'm doing is I teach two online art classes. So the one I share with my good friend Karen Campbell is called the Celtic Collective, and it is because we were so obsessed with fairies and folklore and anything Scottish and fantasy art type stuff, we decided to do an art class on it so that we have the excuse to do to cover lots of stuff that we want to do and share that, like just like you were just saying, share that excitement with other people and our students. So we, and it's like a monthly subscription. So our students join and then every month get usually at least four lessons, two from me and two from Karen. We do a variety of things. So sometimes we do based on a specific creature, or, you know, we might do unicorns 1 month or things like that. Or we will do deep dives into artists where we'll look at other fairy artists and we'll just think about how they produce some of their artwork. If it's a current artist, we usually get permission from them to look at their artwork. We're going to look at Kevin Keel in November, and I don't know if you've checked out his artwork, but it's amazing. He does all these black and white.
Kevin Keel, no.
Yeah, he's on Instagram, and Karen reached out and asked him if we could check out his art with our students. So we do different kinds of lessons like that. And I also have my own class, which is called the Art Lab Association, which is watercolour and gouache. And I do a mixture of different, it's not fairy art as such, although there's a little bit of crossover because I can't help myself. But that's, again, a monthly club. So that's what I mostly do. We do have a podcast, Karen and I, but we are really rubbish because we've only recorded one in like the last 8 months. We're just so busy that we just to get around to doing it, and it's kind of, we were really good for the first year and a half. We were recording like fortnightly or weekly, and then we just got busy and they kind of got fewer and further between. Keep saying we must revive it soon, we must get it started again because it is so much fun doing. So that's me for the most part. My website is just lucybridenart.com. And that's, I mean, if you type in that name, you can find me on all the different kind of social medias. But you know what it's like, Claire. There's hours in the day to do everything that you want to do.
I often wish I had clones so that
I know
one of them could finish writing my book, or you know, books I want to write. The other one could do the arts, the other one could do the podcast, and the other one could run the home.
Then you know, like rich people, an assistant, somebody to do my cooking and cleaning and make all my meals, so that I just concentrate on painting and not have to stop and do stuff like that.
That's what I do if I like won the lottery. That's what I do. I'd have like people, you know, sort of helping me do all the sort of social media stuff and all of that, so I could just focus on the creating.
Yeah, I know, me too.
It's cleaner for the home, someone that does my laundry, all of those kinds of things.
Wouldn't it be lovely?
Oh, be heaven. I think I'm treating myself like I've decided this winter that I'm going, it's really boring, I know, but it's really practical. I don't want washing hanging around on radiators this winter because I don't have a tumble dryer. So I'm washing my washing and then I'm taking it all to the laundrette to dry it.
Oh, that sounds like a great
plan. And then it's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one of my little treats to, I know it doesn't sound like much, but it's just quite heavenly, just sticking it all in, get it dried, bring it home, you've got dry washing, just put away. Anyway, lovely, lovely speech to you. That's going off on a tangent. Quite a tangent. Really mundane stuff. Lovely speaking to you, Lucy.
It's been lovely speaking to you too.
Meeting with you and and keep in touch and I'll let you know when this episode's going out. And
definitely. And you are more than welcome to come up here to Scotland and
I'd love to
explore some spooky woods together.
Wow, that would be amazing. That is a plan.
I'd love to see what you did with, you know, your photographs that you take. Do you mirror them or something?
I mirror them, yes.
So interested to see what photographs of that woods look like through that process.
Yes, I love that process. Yeah, I'm going to do a little workshop on that. Yeah, because I love using that. But taking people out into nature and getting them to do it for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yes, you too.
I'm going to get out now with my daughter. And have a wonderful, thanks for your time and everything.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lucy.
Welcome back. Thank you to my guest, Lucy, for sharing her experiences. I enjoy talking with other artists on the show and I want to go and explore that castle and the woods that watch with her. That'd be so cool. And perhaps to record it for a podcast episode. Check out Lucy's website and social media, which are included in the episode description and show notes on the podcast blog at fairywhisperer.co.uk. It's great when I'm talking with guests and they suddenly have an epiphany about their experience, like when Lucy realised that the woman in white she had seen could have been the woman in the painting. Perhaps the creative spirit of the class awakened the spirit of the lady in the portrait. In episode 40, we also pondered the intersection of art and the ethereal when I spoke with my guest Lauren about his family story of a painting that was haunted by fairies. Perhaps the class's collective creative expression opened a doorway into the other world and enticed the fae in. So in folklore tradition, rabbits are associated with the underworld and its inhabitants, including the fae. In southwest of England, both witches and fairies were believed to be able to transform themselves into rabbits at will, so people were suspicious of them. The miners were wary of these burrowing creatures. The supernatural appearance of a little white animal like a rabbit, if it crossed a miner's path, was seen as an omen not to descend the mine for fear of a catastrophe such as a collapse of the mine shaft. There is a symbol which can be found in the church at Widdicombe on Dartmoor. That's not far from where I live. It's only about a 20-minute drive. And it has a very fine tower built, it is said, by the tinners. The roof has many of the original bosses carved and painted with heads, flowers and leaves. So a boss is basically a chunk of wood that's been carved and then it's usually round or carved into another shape and then it's placed up in the beams of the church. One has the figure on it of St. Catherine and her wheel. One boss has on it three rabbits, each with a single ear, which unite in the centre forming a triangle. One exactly similar is in Tavistock Church. So this is a well-known symbol that's attributed to being a protective symbol for miners, but it also has other connotations, which I won't go into here.
This extract I've just read is from Sabine Baring-Gould, The Book of Dartmoor, and that was published in 1900. White rabbits. Robert Hunt records a belief in warnings and tokens at Wheal Vor in Cornwall, where it was believed that a fatal accident in the mine is presaged by the appearance of a hare or white rabbit in one of the engine houses. The men solemnly declare that they have chased these appearances till they were hemmed in, apparently, without being able to catch them. The white rabbit, on one occasion being run into a wind ball lying on the ground, and those stopped in escaped. And that's from Romances of the Miners, Robert Hunt, in Popular Romances and Drolls, published in the 19th century. So miners are very suspicious of anything to do with rabbits, and they took their suspicions very seriously, and that there's a whole list of superstitions that miners have about black cats and women and all sorts of things and sounds that they'd hear. Rabbits are also seen as lucky omens for locating treasure in the West Country. In East Devon, in 1936, Farmer Clapp discovered a hoard of golden guineas which was buried beneath an apple tree where he had seen a rabbit digging only days before. They were believed to have been buried during the Monmouth Rebellion in 1685. Possibly the owner was killed at the Battle of Sedgemoor and unable to return to retrieve his treasure. This story was recorded by the Devon author J.R.W. Coxhead, and he says that Farmer Clapp showed him three of the gold coins. So yeah, I've come across rabbit lore when I've been researching about pixies. As I said, it's one of the animals that pixies are believed to shapeshift into, as well as witches, and there are stories about witches and pixies, pixies being captured, where somebody thinks that they've captured a pixie, and then they look in their bag and get the bag home and it's a rabbit in there, and they let the rabbit out, and of course that could have been the pixie that had shapeshifted into a rabbit. And then there's a story about the called Bowerman's Nose, where Bowerman the huntsman chases a witch that disappears, that changes into a rabbit. And the way that they usually decided that a witch was a rabbit is if a rabbit had been injured, for example, they'd been hunting rabbits and then they'd wounded the rabbit, but the rabbit had got away, and this could be a hare as well. Then later on, somebody that was identified as a witch, usually just an innocent healing woman, they'd say, oh, she's got a wound on her arm, for example, and that's where we wounded the rabbit on its front leg, and therefore that proves that the witch had turned into a rabbit. So yeah, not a very nice side of our history. That's where a lot of this folklore comes from, these old beliefs about rabbits and witches and fairies.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Claire Sylvan-Wand, and this has been the Fairy Whispering Podcast. I researched, produced and hosted the podcast myself. The theme song is Oxygen by Third Girl from the Left. This is an independent show, so please show your support by subscribing, sharing with a friend and leaving a 5-star review. Also, if you or someone you know has had a fairy encounter or another supernatural experience, please send me your story to claire@fairywhisperer.co.uk, and that's fairy spelt F-A-E-R-Y. Goodbye for now, see you next time. Remember to keep your heart open and let the wisdom of the fae and nature guide you.